Hello and welcome to Mike's Camera Action. I'm Carl.
I'm Alex.
And this week, we're looking at Avengers Endgame. This is, what, 12 years of Marvel films working up to this?
11. Is 2008 was Iron Man.
Jesus Christ, it's been so long. I was, what, 12, 11 years old when Iron Man came out?
Yeah, we're both 11.
That's shocking to me.
Yeah, I remember Iron Man coming out and being like, this is the fucking sickest thing ever.
I know, right? I was like, man, look, that's a cool superhero movie that's actually based on a superhero I know about.
No, I was like, I've never heard of Iron Man, but this is fucking sick.
Really? Yeah. Was the Iron Man movie your first experience with him?
Yeah, I didn't have a lot of exposure to Marvel, apart from Spider-Man.
Okay.
I mean, like, when you think about what, like, TV shows were airing during, like, our childhood, there wasn't a whole heap of Marvel.
There wasn't, like, you didn't get Avengers TV shows back when we were kids.
There was X-Men.
Yeah. X-Men we had a lot of.
X-Men Evolution was fucking sick.
Yeah, between the cartoon and the movies by that point.
Yeah, I'm talking about TV shows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was X-Men, there was Spider-Man. Spider-Man had a couple of TV shows.
So much Spider-Man.
And there was the Justice League and, like, Superman, Batman, and that's it, really.
Fair.
There might have been something that I just didn't watch, but I don't think there was.
Would you say you were firmly in the DC or, like, before Iron Man came out, you would have said you're more of a DC fan back then, wouldn't you? Because, like,
I would have had no fucking clue. It was just Batman and Superman.
Yeah, I know, but, like, to me, when I think back, like, I feel like those characters were more iconic.
Yeah.
Like, you had Spider-Man, and that was, like, the Marvel superhero.
Yeah.
But also, like, Spider-Man had a lot of properties. Like, he had the movies in the early 2000s. He had the...
Yeah, I thought Spider-Man was pretty sick, eh?
Oh, yeah. But, like, my go-to superheroes were usually, like, Batman, Superman.
Yeah.
But I also think... I don't know. I liked a lot more... I was much more in, like, the Justice League and Batman department. I always liked those a lot.
I like the Green Lantern.
You're... Really? Green Lantern?
Yeah, Green Lantern's pretty sick.
You must have hated that movie with Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, yeah. You better believe I did. When I was younger, like, I watched a lot of the DC animated films, like, especially in my teenage years.
Mm.
And I'd seen, there was a Green Lantern one that I thought was, like, the coolest thing.
Really?
Yeah. But it was basically a better version of the film.
Yeah.
It was a lot better plot.
There is a lot of things better than the Green Lantern film.
And then it made me watch the film and be like, I know the ending to this and I hate it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, it was like, this is garbage. And I don't even get the pleasure of not knowing what happens. Sinestro is evil. I know this.
We're on a hell of a tangent.
His name
here is
Sinestro.
Oh, how can you miss that? We're on a hell of a tangent here, but we're here to talk about Avengers Endgame, goddammit.
Oh, yeah. True.
Yeah.
All right, so word of warning, we're going to spoil the shit out of this film.
We're not going to hold anything back here. This is full bore.
Yeah, right? it's a review podcast. If you wanted to listen to a non-spoiler review of Endgame, please, what are you doing?
If you don't want to have this thing spoiled for you, then you've got 3, 2, Hulk dabs, 1, Thanos flosses over Captain America. No, he doesn't. 0, we're on.
All right. So let's go from the very start of this film.
Okay.
I was on the edge of my fucking seat that entire start. Because, like, it basically picks up, like,
20 days after they left off.
Yeah, 20 days. Like, they rescue Iron Man, and I'm like, sure, this has happened. I don't know how they
sped through that so quick. I thought that was going to be a whole, like, problem to deal with in the movie, where they're like, what happened to Tony Stark? And then he's rescued in the, like, opening sequence to the movie.
Yeah, by Captain Marvel, and I'm like...
Yeah.
I was like, all right, I know that in the Captain Marvel end credit scene, like, they're found by Cap and Theo. So that means that battery only lasted, like, 10 fucking days, maybe tops.
Yeah, but it was just broadcasting nonstop.
Yeah.
That was the difference. Like, it can be sitting there off the entire time. Although
They did talk about it stopped broadcasting, though. It stopped. Is it dead?
Yeah, then they plug it back in, but no. She's actually just shown up, so that's why it's off.
Yeah. Anyway, Captain Marvel's rescued. I'm like, cool, dope, easy done. Then they go into space again.
Dude, I gotta say something about what I was expecting from this movie and what I got.
Yeah.
I was kind of expecting them to, like, at some point in the movie, have Thanos with all 6 stones actually fight something.
Yeah.
But it never happened.
No.
At no point did we ever see the Infinity Gauntlet at full power actually in combat, which is one of the things from... So, are you familiar with the comic, by any chance, the Infinity Gauntlet series?
Vaguely.
So I read ages ago, like when I read it when Avengers 1 came out, because I was like, oh, who's this Thanos guy? I'm going to get familiar with this. Oh, Infinity Gauntlet, that sounds fun.
And I know that there's actually a few people that wear it.
Yeah. But the important thing about Thanos wearing the Infinity Gauntlet at full power in that comic is that he fights all of the cosmic heroes and all of the cosmic characters. Like, he punches the shit out of Galactus and the forces of law and chaos and beats down the Silver Surfer. Like,
But they're not in this film.
Exactly. Like, no one in this film is on par with Galactus or Master Order Lord Chaos or the Living Tribunal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it makes sense. I get it. I was just kind of hoping, like, in that opening sequence when they're like, all right, guys, let's go fuck Thanos' shit up and fix the world. I wasn't expecting them to just be like, oh, no, there are no stones. I destroyed the stones to... I used the stones to destroy the stones.
Yeah. Also, can I just say, I was... The thing I didn't expect the most out of this film... one of the things I didn't expect the most was Thor just straight up fucking decapitating Thanos.
Yep.
And he's like, I aimed for the head.
I did what he told me to. I aimed for the head.
But because I remember reading somewhere that the Russo brothers were brothers.
Yeah.
Were talking about the only things he couldn't do was decapitate someone.
Yeah.
It was like the thing that Disney straight up would not allow them to. It was like that. Like, I think it was like full frontal nudity and that or something.
Not only that, but they show it twice.
Do they?
Yeah, Thor decapitates him, and then when Thanos is watching it back on Nebula's brain vision, he sees it again.
Yeah, and I'm like, what? I was like, what?
Yep. Shocking, huh?
Yeah, I was like, did not expect it.
I mean, it makes sense with that character. Like, they must have got an exception purely for that.
Yeah, I mean, because he does wield an axe.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's better than using Mjolnir to, like, just... bash his head in and blood everywhere.
That would have been... Could you imagine if he still had Mjolnir and he just fucking bludgeoned Thanos to death?
Yeah. I mean, like, to be fair, when he decapitates him, you just see, like, the blade swing and then there's no head. There's no blood or anything.
They frame it well so that... it probably is a case of they frame it well enough that it gets away with it. Like, they don't just show him, like, from the chest up, like, getting decapitated, so it's fine. Like, you just show the top of his head suddenly disappearing, you're good.
Yeah, but yeah, and then it goes to like 5 years later.
They do a massive time skip. I was expecting like 1 year, like, oh, here's the part where between Infinity War and now. It's like, nah, this is the future. Buckle up, kiddo.
Cap is like hosting a support group, which I feel like is a very Captain America move.
Oh, big time. I also really want to talk about with the support group. Each of the main like three Avengers, like Captain America, Tony Stark, and Thor.
Yeah.
They all get a scene with with the director of their biggest film.
Oh, yeah.
Tony Stark gets a scene with Happy, who's Jon Favreau, the director of Iron Man. Captain America, that support group scene.
Yeah.
The guy talking there is Joe Russo, who did The Winter Soldier.
Who's also one of the
directors of this film.
Yeah. Also, he's the first openly gay character in the MCU.
Yeah.
Whether or not that's enough for representation is not a.
It's something. Like, you got to start somewhere, I guess, even if that is 11 years in.
Yeah, 11 years in and, like, a brief appearance.
It still does a ticket.
Yeah.
Like,
and then you've got Taika Waititi.
Yeah, Taika Waititi is Korg playing Fortnite.
I know. So it's like he's being mean to me. I am Thor, God of Thunder.
I will come to your house and I will kill you, kid.
Yeah, out of all the things that happened, Thor was the one I did not expect the most.
Yeah, the two things I least
also,
saw coming
Iron Man's
were...
kid.
Iron Man's kid I saw coming. When it made the 5-year jump, because I was expecting Iron Man to like either get married or have a child at some point.
Yeah, I expected to get married but not have a kid. I didn't know whether or not that would be like his sort of thing.
The 5-year time jump made me... Like, if it was 1 year in, I would have been like, okay, he's going to be married to Pepper Potts. But the fact that they said 5 years later, I was like... I had that theory of... He's gonna have a young kid, daughter or son. I expected it, and when it cut to him retired at his like log cabin, I was like, yeah, he's guaranteed right now. I knew it.
Yeah. Anyway, what were we saying? Yeah. So yeah, Thor's body. I can now say I have the body of a Marvel superhero.
Yeah. Much like I've been saying, I've got the body of a Greek god. Unfortunately, that's the god of tits and wine.
Yeah.
You can now say you've got a body of an Avenger.
I'm a fat Hemsworth.
Yep. Just a little bit of a longer beard with a couple of braids in it and you're set.
Yeah. That braid.
The braids were cool. I thought the effect was good.
Yeah, it just looked really weird because I didn't think the beard was long enough to support a braid, but then there was just a braid in it and I'm like, what is this? Like the beard's,
his Norse god on.
The beard's not even that long. I think they just got a hair bit and just stuck it there.
Just kind of twist tie on the end.
Yeah. I was like expecting when that scene happened, I expected like, you know, when the lightning strikes him and he's in an armor, I thought he was going to get buff, but no, he's still just fat.
I was kind of waiting for the moment when Thor would get jacked. Yeah. Like if he'd somehow do like a quick montage and he'd be like, oh, like he'd do the James Van Der Beek, oh, I'm a quick fat, I'm a quick like thin or whatever.
Yeah.
But no, he just stays chunky. He just stays chunky Thor.
He's thick.
Thick with three Thes.
Yeah, no, I liked the idea that like they're each coping with what happened in their own way. Like Thor took it so badly.
Oh, Thor took it real fucking hard. He retires from being Thor entirely. Like,
yeah.
Not in the same way like Iron Man just quits being Iron Man, because he quits being Iron Man, but he starts being Tony Stark again.
Yeah.
Where he's inventing shit and he's also focusing on his personal life.
Yeah.
Captain America stops being Captain America, I think.
Yeah, he's technically not a Captain America after Civil War.
Yeah, he just continues being, but in the same way he doesn't become Steve Rogers like he does at the end of the movie, where he starts living life.
Yeah.
Instead, he's continuing to be Captain America in a different way. He's still trying to help other people and help people deal with the situation.
It's like Hawkeye becomes Ronin.
Yeah.
And it's the weirdest thing. I was like, holy
shit.
His
whole fucking family dies.
Yeah, I know.
That was so sad. I was sitting there in the theater, like, that's the opening sequence. Like, the cold open to it is just, as soon as it's like, oh, Hawkeye's having a picnic with his family. I was like, none of them are making it out of this movie alive.
Yeah.
None of them are escaping this scene.
They all got the snap.
Yep. Which also, speaking of continuing on the Avengers, Hawkeye's daughter could be the next Hawkeye.
Yeah, they're talking about a new Hawkeye TV show.
Yeah, because at one point he calls her, like when she's taking when he's training her, he calls her Hawkeye. He's like, good job, Hawkeye.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, that makes sense. That could be the next thing for her.
Yeah, no, he's just moves off to like a Ronin or whatever.
Yeah.
Or he retires.
I think he's well and truly, truly retired after this movie.
Yeah.
Which he was trying to do after Avengers, during Avengers 2. He was like, guys, can I stop putting on the fucking suit and picking up my bow? Please, for the love of God, let me go back to my family.
I have a family.
He's like, I have a family. I've had this for years. Can I please go home now? Stop calling me.
Yeah.
And they just keep fucking bringing him back.
And then Civil War happens.
Exactly. When he came back for Civil War, I was like, dude, go home. You're going to be in prison for this.
And then he ends up in house arrest.
Yeah.
Like Ant-Man.
Much like Ant-Man. They're like, hey, you have a family. Go home,
dumbass. Can we just talk about how rough Ant-Man got it? Because he lives in, like, San Francisco in this, like, thing he can't even leave the actual house itself.
Which is a fucking tiny plot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Hawkeye, all this land.
Yeah.
That he can wander about on.
Farm.
And it's like, what the fuck?
I do like in this is an Ant-Man and the Wasp, how Scott Lang copes with that.
Yeah.
How he spends a lot of time with his daughter and he builds all of this these cardboard mazes and stuff.
I like Louise having to operate it from the outside.
Yeah. It's really cool and cute to see that. And I love the relationship between him and his daughter.
Yeah. Also, speaking of Ant-Man, I was like, how are they going to fix this? I was like, there's got to be a way. And then like Ant-Man appears. It's like, for me, it's only been 5 hours.
I was like, 5 hours. Which, by the way, Doctor Strange's whole, like, there's 14,605 possible futures I've seen, and only one is the one where we win.
Yeah.
That
it's also the one where he tells Tony Stark that it's the one future.
Yeah, but it's also the one future where the rat climbs onto the dashboard of the van.
Yeah.
There was so much weight depending on a rat, like, hitting, like, climbing onto the dashboard
and hitting
like,
the
turning
right
on
keys
the thing.
In the order.
I'm not sure if it was the right like sequence or anything, but just the act of it jumping up there powered it back on and spat him out.
Yeah,
I love that the van was impounded too. It's just like seeing in a storage.
And he's
locker.
Like, "Hey, can I get out now?
Hey, please, somebody."
Yeah, I did like that. I liked the time travel was done well.
I think it was done well enough. That when I heard people talking about like, "Oh, they're going to use time travel in this movie to undo the whole thing," I was like, I don't like that.
See, but they what the thing I like though is that like what happens with like Hulk and The Ancient One. Yep. Where they talk about how the fact that you've got to put them back.
Yeah.
You can't just take these.
Exactly. It was really well done where they're like, no, the Inferni Stones are tied to the universe, and if you pull them out, we're fucked. Like, how is Doctor Strange going to beat Dormammu? Regardless of what happens with Thanos, we're fucked.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, we'll put him right back. No
Dormammu,
change.
Dormammu, I've come to bargain.
Dormammu, I've come to bargain. Shlack! And then the universe is over.
Yeah, because there's also, yeah, because there's that, there's, like, Star-Lord using the Power Stone.
Yep.
To defeat Ronan.
Yep. What's his face? Vision getting created to defeat Ultron.
The whole thing with the ether.
Yep. Whatever that was.
You know what? You could just delete Thor the Dark World, I think.
Yeah.
This is the first time that Thor the Dark World has been relevant since...
Yeah, honestly, Thor the Dark World has been relevant twice. Infinity War, when they're like, oh, by the way, there's an Infinity Stone with the Collector. And you're like, oh, yeah, that was the end credit scene for that movie.
Yeah.
And then this movie where it's like, oh, hey, remember that part where Thor's girlfriend had the Infinity Stone in her? We go yank it out now.
Did they even bring Natalie Portman back, or did they just reuse scenes?
I can't tell. It's one shot. Exactly. That's what I was thinking this whole time. I was like, did they bring her back in? Because there's one shot where she's really far away.
Yeah.
And I was like, that wasn't in Thor 2. I can tell that because they're like awkwardly from a different angle.
Yeah.
And then there's when she gets up out of the bed.
Or, yeah.
Like, wakes up and Rocket's sitting there behind her creeping, which might be a shot that was in Thor the Dark World, and then they just, like, shifted off to the side and composited Rocket in the back, maybe.
Or whether, like, because Rocket's a CGI character, you can just composite him anywhere.
Exactly, you can just throw him in the background. And,
you know,
which
you just,
I think if that were the case and they reused that shot, would actually be really funny.
Yeah.
So it's just like, hey, like, if it was shot for shot and then you just have Rocket fucking sneaking about.
You never see him actually get it out of her.
No, it just, like, he just clacks a thing and sneaks up on her and then you cut and he's running away later.
Yeah.
Which is just fucking adorable. Just Rocket, like, sprinting down the hallway going, Thor, we gotta go, buddy!
And I like how Thor puts out his hand and it's just like...
Yeah, he calls Mjolnir to him.
And it's just like... So, and his mom's just like, yeah, it's okay. Sometimes it just takes a while.
Sometimes it takes a while to get this up.
And it reminds me of like the end at the start of Thor Ragnarok, where he does the same, where he's like this, and it's like, nothing's happening, nothing's happening, nothing's happening. Shoop.
I do like the gags with Mjolnir sometimes. Yeah. It's a really cool interaction with how it works with him.
I also like the I like them going back to Avengers, like the first one in
that
New York.
When they go back to New York, they do the like sweeping shot, like that. You know that one shot that made me go, "Fuck it, they've done it. The Avengers has happened."
Yeah,
they recreated that. Like they put that shot back into this movie.
Yeah,
and then it keeps going, and then goes to the other Avengers, like dropping out of time into the alleyway. I was like, I fucking love this already.
Yeah.
I'm sold on time travel.
I like how, because you've got Professor Hulk. You don't have, like, the Hulk and Banner. You have Professor Hulk, which I honestly think was a weird move.
Yeah, it was odd.
Yeah, I found it, like, I get this 5 years, and one of my friends was like, Professor Hulk's their favorite character.
Okay.
And I was like, sure, but I also think this was a weird move that I don't know if it was necessary.
I figured they'd eventually get to it. It seemed like the logical next step for... what they've been doing with the Hulk.
Yeah, I mean, you could have gone, like, Professor Hulk, or you could have just gone, like, Banner and the Hulk have reached that comfortableness where, like, he's always the Hulk.
Yeah, which, like, is kind of what they did with this one.
Yeah, they did. They probably just did it as Professor Hulk, so that way it's easier for the audience to understand.
Yeah.
Because the Hulk is shown to be not very bright.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I think I've seen other cartoons where Banner's the Hulk all the time, where... the Hulk is pretty intelligent enough.
Yeah.
Like, whereas, like, this one is just always angry, whereas, like, calm down the Hulk, man.
Yeah.
But, yeah, anyway, what were we saying, Abel?
I like in the New York part where they see Hulk come screaming past, just punching the shit out of stuff, and they're just like, all right, Bruce, go do your thing. And he's like, oh, it just seems excessive. And, like, really, really just... yeah, just really sad, like, pulls the car door off a taxi and throws it, like... just depressed, like, I don't want to do this. This feels like too much. This isn't me anymore.
Yeah.
Just, smash.
Yeah. I liked the whole theft of the Hail Hydra from Cap.
That was
like the elevator scene.
Yeah, this is why I love. This is what Salt like this in particular made me like really think. Okay, they did time travel well, which is that they had the character development from Captain America in the like in the future and used that in this sequence.
Yeah.
So he gets into basically the elevator sequence of Winter
Soldier.
I was like,
fuck, is it going to happen again? Is this going to...
And it shows so much that I'm sitting there and I'm expecting, oh, it's going to be like Winter Soldier. And then he plays out and uses his knowledge of that movie to go, okay, I can deal with this without causing a fight.
Yeah.
And just walks out with the fucking stone.
Yeah, they just give it to him.
Yeah, he just sits there and goes, Hail Hydra. And Crossbones is like, well, fuck, I guess we got to hand it over now.
He's one of us.
Exactly, he's one of us. What are we going to do? Tell him no? This is Captain America and his Hydra agent. How else would he know?
Yeah, and then it makes me wonder about, like, and then, like, then it's like, we going up? I just love that elevator scene in Winter Soldier.
Yeah. It's a great fight scene.
Oh, just elevator scene. Yeah, no, I liked that. I liked also Ant-Man and, like, that's America's ass.
That there is I love Scott Lang and just the way he treats Captain America.
He sucks up to Cap all
exactly.
the time.
He still has this, like, level of reverence to this character where everyone else is just like, oh, hey, Cap, how you doing? And they're just, like, on, like, first-name basis with him. He's sitting there like, that there is America. That's the Captain America. You will speak to him with, like, the appropriate reverence needed. And everyone's just, all right, kiddo, that's cool.
But to be fair, like, how many times has he met Cap? Like, once, and then he ended up in Germany in the airport.
Yeah.
And then this time.
Yeah.
Since then, he hasn't met...
Tim, it's his brand new thing. This guy's a celebrity from the 40s.
It's like, hey, I'm Ant-Man. And everyone's like, who's Ant-Man?
Who's this? This is the ant guy you're talking about? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
He's a small boy.
Small boy. And then he becomes Giant Man. You're like, yeah. Big boy.
Ah. Big boy, small boy.
What else was there?
Captain America fighting himself was great. Just the moment where it's like, just the Spider-Man's pointing, but it's Captain America.
I like how they went back in time to that, to the base.
Yeah.
To see where the Pym particles and the Tesseract are in the same place. And Tony got to meet his dad again.
That was real. That was a really great scene. I really loved just Tony being so terrified, but also like...
Oh my God, it's my dad.
Yeah, like he's terrified that's going to like screw him over. He's like, hey, you got the Tesseract there, kid. But at the same time, he's like, oh wait, this is literally the last chance I'll ever get to talk to my dad. This doesn't happen.
Yeah.
There's just something really beautiful about
it. It's like you knew here. Not exactly. But you're right, because it uses the knowledge from like the Winter Soldier again about where stuff is.
Yeah, they were just like, well, we know where Hank Pym is.
Yeah.
So therefore we can find more Pym particles to remove through time. And we know where the Tesseract's been hiding all this time. Let's just go there. Problem solved.
Can I just talk about how weird that Stan Lee cameo was?
Yeah, I wasn't... Of all the Stan Lee cameos, I wasn't expecting him to just be like, make peace, love, make love, not war. Like, and just screaming by a military base.
Yeah, I was like, wait, that was Stan Lee?
I mean, I immediately recognized it as Stan Lee, but I was like... Okay, that's a cameo.
I had to like kind of double take, and it's like a bit weird after the absolute like tribute that he got in Captain Marvel.
Oh, Captain Marvel was the best Stan Lee cameo, I think, where he's just rehearsing his lines for Mallrats.
Did I ever tell you about Kevin Smith was being like, holy shit?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, he was like, I reference these films all the time, and for once they referenced me.
Yep, that was really beautiful. I think that might be the best Stan Lee cameo.
Yeah, Excelsior.
Excelsior.
Yeah, I liked that scene because like you got like... Cap watching Peggy and being like, I want to go back.
Yep.
And then you get like Tony meeting his dad and like finding out that his dad was worried about like the same sort of stuff that he is.
Yeah, his dad was going through the exact same things as he was.
Yeah, and he's like, maybe this isn't like, you know, maybe he wasn't trying, maybe he was just trying his best but didn't know how to.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what he learns in that sequence. He's like, oh, right, he really did try but just didn't know how to do it and wasn't good at balancing work and personal life.
It's not like Tony who's like basically doing nothing except for this. Like watching his kid because really he's got nothing else going, honestly.
Yeah, except discovering the secrets of time travel in his spare time.
Yeah, I mean, casually it's like, oh, this works. It's like, damn it, I made time travel.
I mean, in all fairness, he was given most of the work. He's just one who fixed it and went, oh, they done fucked up. They're about to turn the ant into a baby.
Yeah. It's like the Ant-Man's a baby, isn't he? It's like, how'd you know? I still like him. I still like Tony, Ant-Man trying to eat a taco.
Oh, God, yeah. Just and there goes the filling, and there goes the rest of it, just blown off.
Yeah, by like that spaceship, and he's like, "Oh, what am I meant to do now?"
Just blown back, and I like that everyone's so casual about it, and he's sitting there like, "Guys, a spaceship just landed on your lawn. What's going on?"
And then like you see Hulk walk past, and he just gives him two tacos.
He just gives him the taco.
He gives him two.
Yeah, dude, it was a really subtle little thing that I really liked. When they're getting breakfast with the Hulk and they've like shown him for the first time, how much fucking food is there for him?
Yeah.
He's just sitting there like with a giant bowl of mac and cheese, like, all right, this is how many calories I gotta eat to be the Hulk.
Yeah. And he's like, eat.
And then he dabs. Yeah, I forgot about that. Honestly, I didn't mind.
No.
this is gonna be funny. Someone asked me, hey, what do you think of Avengers? And I just, like, the night after I saw it, because they were going to see it the next morning, and I just sent them back, you're going to see it anyway, don't bother asking for my opinion on it. Just watch it. But also Hulk dabs, and Thor threatens to kill somebody over Fortnite. And he just goes, ha ha, real funny, whatever. That's cool. And then it happened, and he messaged me back the next morning going, dude, what the fuck, you weren't lying?
Yeah, Hulk dabs, and
Thor threatens to kill a kid, and Hulk dabs.
Yeah,
it's great.
It's weird. It's great. But yeah, no, I like how like most of the Avengers get like this touching scene with like Thor gets it with Frigga. Cap kind of gets it with Peggy, like watching her and realizing like this is what he was originally doing this for, but now he's like, why am I doing this now?
It sort of re-centers him and makes him remember, okay, this is what I have to work up to.
Yeah.
Like, do something to live.
You know, Iron Man has that, like, similar thing with his dad.
Yep.
Nat and Hawkeye get their own thing on Boromir, which is super sad.
So, Hawkeye and Black Widow get into a suicide off.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Like, it's gotta be me. No, it's gotta be me.
It's such a great way to show their character, where Hawkeye agrees, like, okay, yeah, it's gotta be you, that's fine, and then he immediately tries to deck her, just like goes, nah, you're not going, it's gonna be me, and they start getting to this fight just to see who can throw themselves off the edge first.
My favorite thing though about it is like, we know who it's gonna be. And they're not, and they're like, we're both thinking of a completely different person.
We're both thinking of ourselves, aren't we? Yup.
Yeah. And like, then, like, both, you know, you have Hawkeye Tripper, and then, you know, you got the...
Yeah,
then you end up the grappling.
She decks him, then he, like, arrows the shit out of her, then she grappling hooks him to the wall and throws herself off.
Yeah. It's very sad.
Yeah.
You know what the worst part is? They put the Soul Stone back, but can't even get Nat back?
Yep.
Why can't I make the train the opposite way?
You know what must be really fucking funny? So remember in Infinity War how Red Skull shows up to Thanos and says, I guide others to a treasure I cannot possess.
Yeah.
Does Captain America drop into Vormir and then just hand Red Skull the Soul Stone? Like, here you go, buddy.
Holy shit, I never thought about the Red Skull and Vormir Cap interaction. Can you imagine him being like, you're back, Mr. Steve Rogers.
Oh, hello, Cap. It's been 70 years, but hello.
Beat down.
He just fucking beats the shit out of him.
Shield.
Just fucking clubs the shit out of him.
It's actually before he drops Mjolnir off and just beats him one after the other.
He just murders Red Skull like, once a Nazi, always a Nazi. Gonna take my Nazi scalps, and then throws the Soul Stone off the cliff. Fucking chuck it into the pit.
Yeah, no, that was really weird.
Yeah, I feel like someone's gonna be able to explain how that, like, it didn't bother me in the moment, which is fine. Yeah. And I feel like someone's gonna be able to post online within a week to be like, okay, here's what probably happened, and I'll just accept that theory. Like,
yeah.
I'll just make, okay, that makes perfect sense. Now I get it, kind of thing.
Yeah, he just puts it back.
There we go.
Vormir just took it back.
Just throw it into the pool where Hawkeye finds himself afterwards. He's like, here you go. This is where you belong.
Yeah. That was so weird, too. He just wakes up in a pool.
Yeah, the exact same thing that happened to Thanos happens to Hawkeye, where Thanos has his moment where he blacks out and has a vision has his flashback, and then wakes up, like, with the Soul Stone. Hawkeye does the exact same thing.
True.
Yeah.
Also, can we talk about Hawkeye just fucking holding the Soul Stone? I don't know how that works, because humans aren't meant to be able to handle Infinity Gems.
I'm not entirely... Well... Strange can hold the Time Stone, no problem.
Yeah, I think...
Everyone's been able to hold the... anyone who's touched the Tesseract can hold the Tesseract.
Okay, so I would argue the answer to that is Tesseract is the protecting matter for the Space Stone. Time Stone is in the Eye of Agamotto.
But he also holds it in his fingers.
I don't know, also...
To hand it over
also
to Thanos, fucking, he just plucks it out and goes, here you go.
Also magic.
I get that. But I think it might be more related to the Power Stone.
Yeah, maybe.
Where that's just like, I feel like the Power Stone itself is just raw energy coursing through it, where it's like, okay, this thing will destroy.
I mean, its whole goal is if you can't, the whole thing is that Jane Foster can't handle the Aether.
True. But it still doesn't annihilate her. Like, she manages to sit there and not be obliterated by the fact that it's in her the whole time.
Yeah, true. I don't know. Maybe
it might be a case of, yeah, I think the Power Stone is more like...
I think it kind of wrecks you in different ways depending on how you use it.
Yeah. Like the other ones aren't being manifested all the time. Like, just because you're holding the Time Stone in your hand doesn't mean time is changing all around you. Just because you're sitting there with the Soul Stone in your hand doesn't mean you're constantly channeling the Soul Stone. Whereas the Power Stone, I guess, something to do with it.
What does the Soul Stone even do?
So the Soul Stone, I don't remember exactly, but it allows you to basically read and perceive souls.
Oh.
So in Infinity War, the only time I can remember seeing it used properly is when Thanos is fighting Doctor Strange, and it pulses as Strange does, like, the mirror image type thing, and has, like, 100 of him popping up. Thanos pulses it and then immediately locks onto which one is him.
Okay. Is it the... Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So I think it allows you to read intent and also detect, like, living creatures.
Can I just say the weirdest thing I found in Infinity War was when Thanos uses the Time Stone.
Yep.
It manifests the same way as Strange using it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't exactly...
How it does, like, the runes as he turns it.
Yeah. I wasn't a huge fan of that.
Yeah. I mean, I get that, because Strange is using it like spells. And
His thing. It's like it's a manifestation of his magic enhanced by the Time Stone.
Yeah. I get that.
It's him channeling magic through the Time Stone in order to use it, whereas Thanos isn't magic.
Yeah. Whereas Thanos isn't an inherently magic being. He's just pulsing cosmic energy through a gauntlet.
Yeah. It's like,
We got to talk some more about Thanos here, because holy shit, Infinity War made me like. Air quotes there, Thanos, where they give you so much of him and it's like, okay, I see what he's doing, and they treat him like the protagonist, where he's sitting there smiling like, oh, I've done such a great thing at the end of the movie. Like, aha, I killed half the universe. Aren't I such a benevolent creature? This movie makes you hate him.
Yeah.
I wanted Thanos to lose in this movie, because he is a total, like, he's still being, like, and I, God, I, it's sad that they got rid of him. Because he does such a great job with his, Josh Brolin is amazing in this movie. But then when he drops in and tells Captain America, Thor, and Iron Man, it's personal now. Like, you guys weren't happy. Like, it's one thing for him to get the gauntlet and snap his fingers again and just do it anyway. But he's like, no. Your motherfuckers weren't content. I fucked up. That was on me for not realizing that people wouldn't get the fuck over it.
Yeah.
So now I'm just going to redo this shit, and I'm going to destroy the universe.
Yeah, everything's going down now.
Yep, he's just like, I'm going to kill everybody and shred all the atoms of the universe and start again, where people will fucking thank me for it.
Yeah.
Which, at that point, it's like, oh shit, the stakes were so much higher.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, well, this is it. It's all or nothing at this point. It's not like, oh, whoa, we fuck up and half the universe goes. It's, oh no, you fuck up, it's all over.
Yeah, I did like that, like, how, like, there was, like, I was like, how are they going to do a villain in this? Because, like, you've got this time travel bit, but there's no, like, actual antagonist, because you've just sliced his head off.
And they did a great work.
And Thanos is
Thanos.
Back again.
Yeah, the villain is just Thanos. He's
you don't
just,
have to introduce anyone. It's Thanos being like, oh, fuck this, I'm wrong.
Yeah, we bring in the same character, and it's just, he watches everything from Nebula that she'd seen, and then he learns from that and goes, oh, I fucked up. It's on me. I won, and I still lost, so... Fuck it. I'm going to do it properly. And he like, I like that, where yeah. it gives us some great development on Thanos, where he is basically the Thanos from the end of Infinity War at that point, because yeah. he's seen everything and he knows what's up, except he's more villainous.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah. And you've got like, and you've also got like Gamora's and Nebula as well. Like, they're no longer the good characters that they were. They're evil again.
Yeah.
Gamora, I'd argue.
Gamora less so. She's still in the same place she was at the start of Guardians.
Yeah, but at the start of Guardians, by the start of Guardians, she knew where Voromir was.
Yeah.
And she had deliberately not told him where Voromir was.
Yeah. No, Gamora's definitely... Yeah, she's at the same place where she was at the start of Guardians, where she's not playing for Thanos' team.
Yeah.
You know, she's after the stones, but she's after them to get them the fuck away from Thanos.
But Nebula is even more in, like,
But Nebula's evil as fuck, where Nebula, like, OG Nebula...
Yeah.
Has always been trying to do the thing for Thanos.
It's OG Nebula, but somehow even more evil, I would argue.
Yeah, kinda.
It's like, what?
They gave her a chance to be, like, properly nefarious instead of just, ah, isn't it funny,
I have daddy
fighting.
Issues.
Yeah. It was their chance to be like, no, I'm gonna do some evil shit. This is my chance to.
This is my time to shine.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was like, I liked that though, because like you had this interplay between like future Nebula, past Nebula.
Yeah.
And like her taking the panels off, like.
Yeah, just disguising herself as future Nebula.
And then you've got it. Then you've got all the stuff with like the calling of the spaceship, and everyone will be like, what the hell?
Yep, dude. Okay, the spaceship... So Nebula summoning in Thanos' spaceship from time? Fucking terrifying. Like, when that just goes shoo, into the fucking sky over the Avengers facility and then bombards and turns the whole thing into a crater, I was like, oh, fuck it. What? Did they lose? What? Huh?
So what?
They had this in the bag!
Yeah, it's like, what? Oh, no.
It was fucking terrifying. Like, just that moment where it's like, oh... Oh, you can't.
They were
getting
ready.
Him.
They were going to decide who was going to snap.
Yeah, or they just snapped, and then suddenly the whole building explodes as Thanos levels the place.
No, I didn't think that. I didn't think that
they'd already snapped. They had
already snapped.
Yeah, it happens. Then, like 6 seconds later, the whole thing explodes.
Yeah,
and there's a great. I really want to talk about this. My favorite moment in possibly all of Marvel history now. And I've been waiting for it for so long, was when Captain America, Thor, and Iron Man are fighting Thanos in that 3-on-1. And Thor's got Mjolnir in one hand and Stormbreaker in the other. And there's that moment where Mjolnir comes flying out and slams into Thanos and then gets recalled. And it's Steve Rogers holding
yeah,
Mjolnir.
And shield in one hand, Mjolnir in the other.
I've been waiting for this moment. And Thanos is so Thor is so fucking happy because he's just like, I knew it. Like, I
it
knew
happened.
You could. You're worthy. And I've been waiting for that to happen for so fucking long. Because my God. Do I love me some Captain America, and to have him finally get his moment, and he got very little in Infinity War,
yeah,
and he gets some of the best moments and the hugest payoffs in this movie,
like when he says Avengers assemble,
he finally gets his Avengers assemble,
and I was like, oh yes,
it's the best fucking moment. And then what I want, I just want a poster of this shot,
yeah,
which is Captain America standing all alone in front of Thanos' entire army.
Yeah,
I want it. It's such a. I think that might be a panel from a comic, but I want it.
Just on that poster, yeah, of him like holding the shield and the hammer,
just beaten to shit, got the hammer like drooping. He's just like, all right, I guess I can do this all day.
I can do this all day.
That's what you don't realize, Thanos. I can do this all day.
What the hell is Thanos' sword made out of?
I assume so. Vibranium comes from space. All the vibranium in Wakanda came from a space rock.
True,
I assume that it's either made of vibranium or something even stronger than vibranium.
Yeah,
because let's face it, there's a whole universe out there.
Also, yeah, because it tears through the shield.
Yeah, it doesn't tear through it. Like
it
he pummels the shit out of him until it breaks.
Yeah, yeah. So like you've got to admit that somehow it's not absorbing the vibrations as much as it should be.
Yeah, I mean. I also assume, like, it's Thanos we're talking about. This is, like, the uber-villain of 12 years or 11 years of movies.
Yeah.
I assume he can come up with a vibranium alloy that's stronger than whatever Cap's got. And also, it's probably fucking magic.
Yeah, a bit of both, yeah.
And also, it's fucking huge! The guy's holding a two-handed sword the size of him.
It's a two-bladed sword.
Double-bladed sword, yeah.
He uses one hand with it.
Fucking badass.
Yeah, it's like whoosh, whoosh, boom, boom.
Like, they do a great job of reminding you, oh yeah, Thanos, even without the stones, even without the gauntlet, is a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, there's a reason why he's, like, where he is.
Yeah. He also gets, without the gauntlet, he's got none of, like, he's still got all the armor on from the beginning of the of Infinity War. And I like that they got him in combat wearing the armor, because before he's just like, all right, I got the gauntlet, rocking the tank top. And this is like, it still has, I like what they do with the design of these Marvel films with costume design and that and that production design, where it still looks like the comic.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't look as goofy.
No.
But it looks like, it looks more realistic and detailed, but it still has like the shoulder flares.
Yeah.
It's still got, it looks exactly like the comic without just being a comic, you know?
Yeah, without it being really like out there.
Yeah. I know, I just like that. And then of course, holy shit, is it brilliant? I don't think in my lifetime I'll ever see something as high scale as this, where you get the payoff of Sam saying on your left, calling back to the Winter Soldier, and then all those fucking portals open up.
Yeah.
Releasing every Marvel character that's ever existed into the fight with Thanos. And not only do I know each one, I give a shit about each one and am so happy to see all of them.
My favorite thing is when the worms are back from the Chitauri worm things.
Yep.
And you're like, oh no, how are they going to do this? The giant man rocks up like, no!
It's just so, and it's such good payoff where you've got Pepper Potts shows up. Along with and you've got all the Wakandans, M'Baku's there, you've got even side characters are showing up, and it's like, hell yes, this is a team.
Yeah, Wong's back.
Yeah, Wong comes in, like, oh man, remember the part where I pieced the fuck out?
And where said, have you been, man?
Remember where I said, oh shit, Thanos is getting a gauntlet of Infinity Stones? Bye. Good luck. This is above my pay grade as a sorcerer.
You see Strange, and the next thing you know, you see Spider-Man come in. It's like, I like how Spider-Man comes in. It's like, someone told me it's been 5 years, but for me it was only 2 hours. What's going on?
Oh, hey, I was feeling really queasy, and then I got back in. What's the deal? It's been 5 years? Cool. He's so willing to just go along with it.
One of my friends was talking about how, at the end, how, you've got, including in Spider-Man Far From Home, they're back in high school. It's like, doesn't high school only last so long? But, he doesn't... They haven't been in high school. They just got snapped.
They've been disappeared. So, here's something I don't think we'll ever touch on in these movies, is the repercussions of people being gone for 5 years and then coming back 5 years later. Where I want to know, is there a reality TV show about a man who... His wife was snapped away by Thanos. He remarried within 5 years, and then his wife's back.
Oh.
I want a reality TV show of that. Just like, oh no, my dusted wife is back.
There's definitely some people like, no.
There's going to be some awkward situations where the entire universe is like, oh right, yeah, massive population increase, guys. Well, shit.
you know?
I even like that Steve Rogers is kind of looking on the bright side, where he's, when it seems like there's no option, and he's trying to come to terms with the fact that, oh yeah, half the universe is gone. He's just like, hey, I saw some whales in the Hudson.
Yeah.
That's cool. Less pollution, huh?
Yeah, I haven't seen them. Never seen them before.
But
Thanos also snapped all half of the living creatures. Imagine a species that only had two left. He's just snapped that species out of existence.
The last giant turtle disappears.
Yeah, there's half of them disappears.
Just,
does it round
there's
up
only
or,
one.
What, does it round up or down?
I think it might be more of just total aggregate living creatures in the universe. Like, maybe the humans got it better than everyone else. Although by pure chance, I know, it's weird.
Yeah, it's how did really the snap interesting work? Did it, go species by species, or...?
Well, is it total aggregate? Because I know at one point they mentioned super early on that the Earth's governments take, census readings to try and figure out, okay, what happened, and they go, yeah, pretty much 50-50 down the middle, half the life is gone. But I wonder if it's like, hey, humans got the 50-50. Unfortunately, the Florgians got a 99% of their population decimated, but the Batorians, they're fine, they got 1%, they're good.
Yeah, they're good.
They got lucky, they lucked
they're
out.
They're all G.
Six people dead, but that's fine, the planet is cool.
Those six people were in prison anyway.
Yeah. Do you think he could have gotten rid of the criminal population or something? No, great. He didn't solve any of our problems.
Yeah.
He just got rid of half the prisoners and half the guards.
It's all the same.
Just evened out. Come on, Thanos, fix the problem.
Yeah.
Create some jobs, you bastard. Don't eliminate half the businesses too. God damn it.
Yeah, what was I about to say? Yeah, no, I liked, yeah, I did like the whole, yeah, but Kat's whole thing was looking on the bright side.
Exactly, he's doing his best. He's trying to help other people through it.
Well, let's go back to the massive battle. Yeah. I liked them showing all the female characters that were, like, now in the MCU.
Yeah.
I felt it very staged, and I...
At the same time, though...
A lot of this is
staged. Exactly, but I'm even more okay with that, with the fact that you did just have three buff dudes fighting Thanos, three on one.
Yeah.
5 minutes before.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
No, I like, it's fine. Like, I just felt like...
Everyone gets their cool moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt that was like, this is it, we got to show it. Like, and admittedly you do, because there's a lot of them now.
Yeah.
It's not just Black Widow being like a half-assed sort of like, we've got a female... Black. You've got Captain Marvel, you've got Shuri, Okoye, you know, Rescue now with Pepper Potts.
You know what's really, really sad?
What?
Scarlett Johansson / Black Widow is the only one who doesn't get that massive fight sequence. Oh,
shit, she doesn't!
Everyone else, from Gamora to Nebula, characters that have died before, like everyone who got snapped away, characters that, everyone but her and Loki pretty much got this sequence.
Yeah, Loki got his own thing, though.
Loki gets a TV show, he gets off fine.
I think, yeah. Does he get a TV show?
I think so.
Oh. Loki got the space stone and went somewhere.
He just disappeared. He's out. He's got. He won.
Peace.
He got his own thing. Later.
Late. Just walks away. It's like, oh, that can't be good for that reality.
Well, that universe is fucked.
Loki's on the loose.
Good luck. The guess is that undoes Thor the Dark World, I guess.
I suppose that has that going for, which is nice.
They got that going. That's good.
Yeah.
That's lucky.
No, they still have Thor the Dark World. They just can't do much about it.
Yeah, Loki's just, like, not there. Thor's got no way of dealing with the situation. He's got no escape.
Yeah, Hela rocks up and Loki's not even on the planet.
Oh, God.
And Thor's just, like, dead on the ground.
Thor's going to have to solo Hela.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate for him. He needed Loki.
Yeah, no. No, well, he needed Searcher, but, you know.
Yeah, well. Yeah, like, but you need Loki to get to that point.
Yeah, it's like, I still like that it's like, you know you can't be me. I know, but he can.
He can. Kaboom! Just calls, I love, when yeah, I love Ragnarok. It's great.
But yeah, I did like the massive fight sequence, and like, you cut through all, like, how many people are on this battlefield that you know the name of?
Yeah.
It's like really, Return of the King all over again.
It genuinely is... the ultimate payoff. It's 11 years of payoff. And that's it. Like, every character in there I could name. And I sit there going, oh yeah, Wong's getting his moment. Like, look at all the sorcerers. They're getting their, like, moment. Oh, cool, M'Baku's here.
Where's Stephen Strange? Oh, he's just making a tornado.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping for a bit more wizard fight. We only got, like, he got a huge sequence in Infinity War.
Yeah.
And in this one, he gets, like, that quick moment where he's fighting a whole bunch of Thanos's ground forces. And we get, like, some of that cool wizard fight. And then we see all the sorcerers doing their same thing. And then they can remove him. So I'm cool with that, because he still gets his moment. Everyone gets a little bit of their moment in that fight, which is great. Like, even Shuri gets a sequence. Valkyrie gets something. Rides on a freaking Pegasus.
I was so glad to see Valkyrie.
Yeah. Yeah, not only that, just the moment where it's like, here's what Thor's been up to the whole time. We get Valkyrie, we get Korg, and we get Mike.
Yeah.
I was just, yes, they're alive.
Mick.
Mick. Is Mike?
No, it's Mick. It's M-I-E-K. Mick.
M-I-E-K. Okay. Mick. Mick.
Yeah, it's like, oh, Mick's dead.
Oh, I stood on him.
I like how Mick's still just chilling without any, like, sort of...
He just waves, and then that's it from him.
Yeah.
He's adorable. Love Mick.
I love Mick. I loved Korg as well.
Korg's great. So this fight sequence, everyone gets their moments. It's beautiful. I love that everyone gets, they get like a few shots for everybody, and you get to see what they're up to in this fight. And of course, they do a great job of handing off the gauntlet to so many characters, and they all get their part of, okay, protect the gauntlet, shepherd the gauntlet. Spider-Man's come through with it. He's swinging around with the gauntlet. Captain Marvel takes it.
Falcon rocks up.
Yep. You've got Hawkeye running with it for so long. Like, all right, guys, here's my contribution. Fucking booking it with a gauntlet. Okay, what's going on? Just run.
Yeah, no, you've got all this stuff going on. And I just loved, I love that sequence. The only thing that bothered me was when, so Ant-Man and Wasp get in the van to start up the thing so that way they can do
basically, they're sending the gauntlet somewhere else.
Yeah.
They're trying to send the stones back.
Yeah, so they're in the van while the battle's on.
Yeah.
And then what happens is that you get the good old, oh yeah, it is off. I forget that there's two snaps in this film.
Yeah.
I thought there was only the one.
Yeah.
So you got Ant-Man and Wasp in the van, and they're like, we need time to do this stall.
Mm.
And then you have Giant Man shoving a worm through a portal behind him in the next scene. It bothers the hell out of me still.
Really?
Yeah, it bothers me.
I figured it was just leaving Hope to, like, because she takes over and says, I'll, like, she very much, like, does a thing of, like, oh, no, this is my expertise, Ant-Man. Shut your damn mouth. I made this time machine.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming, like, he's trying to give her some, cover.
Like, the thing that is like, because it's the next shot, and it's...
it's the very next shot?
Yeah, it's, like, one of the... Okay. It's, like, it's not the next shot, but it's, like, two shots.
Okay.
It's, like, only a couple. There was definitely a moment where Ant-Man's in the van, though.
Okay,
I just saw him in the van.
Okay.
And that's when you see him putting the worm... just how Giant Man is just putting a worm through a
portal. Go back!
Go away!
Back to whence you came! Speaking of Thanos being, like... a fucking monster. When you've got him like getting the gauntlet and finally like trying to put it on, and Captain Marvel's like the only person soloing him at that point, they do a great job of showing like how once again resourceful Thanos can be, where he's wrestling her over the gauntlet and then he just rips one of the stones off and punches her with it.
Yeah.
So it does a great job of showing that Captain Marvel isn't just invincible, impossible to defeat. Well, like showing the tier of the Infinity Stones, basically. While also showing, hey, by the way, villain's a fucking monster.
Yeah. Captain Marvel doesn't appear in this film as much as I...
No.
As much as I thought she would.
And they actually do a really good job of explaining why.
Oh, because she's busy.
Because she says, hey, a lot of planets don't have you guys.
Yeah.
Like, she points out that she's a cosmic...
Yeah.
...hero. And not everyone has the Avengers.
Yeah.
They can protect their planet and do their own thing. She's got to do a lot of stuff.
Yeah, she's got to do a lot of planets.
She's got to protect a lot of innocent people from a lot of terrible people across a very large scape.
I do like Captain Marvel, though.
Yeah.
I think she's pretty cool.
I like Captain Marvel, and I'm hoping we get more with her later down the track.
So there was a theory online that she's going to be like the new Iron Man-esque sort of role in the... thing.
Okay.
That's why like some people were saying that Captain Marvel didn't do as well as it should.
Yeah.
Should have, because they were hoping for that sort of vibe.
Okay.
Because if they're trying to set up new Avengers,
yeah.
Like Captain Marvel, I would argue, is similar in sort of like ability in a way.
She's pretty new though. Like a lot of people, like that's the thing I was thinking with Captain Marvel, like the movie. A lot of people don't know. I imagine there's a lot of cinema audience who aren't familiar with Captain Marvel.
Yeah, but I don't think that matters at this point.
Yeah, I know. But Captain Marvel, they spent a lot of time establishing her power and who she is. It was very much an origin story.
Yeah.
So they didn't have a lot of time. We're basically waiting for her equivalent of Thor Ragnarok, where they make Captain Marvel really cool. Where they finally figure out, okay, here's the part where we know exactly how we want the character of Carol Danvers to be.
Yeah.
And that's when they can start being like, okay, here's the part where... you're good. You put her in a movie and you're set.
Yeah, I wonder if she'll get a... I wonder if she'll appear in other films. I wonder if she'll appear in Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
I know about Guardians of the Galaxy, but like the next... She'll probably be there for the next team-up movie.
I mean like in terms of like just a cameo.
Yeah, maybe.
Because you do have Thor kicking about there, and like they do know each other.
Yeah, that
she
is
does
true.
Know who they are. Like at least like her rocking up being like, oh, it's that way, or like, you know...
That would be really interesting if they just asked Captain Marvel for directions.
Yeah, or like, you know, they're trying to find Gamora and she's like, I'm also looking for, like you know, Gamora's been causing trouble in this area. I know you're looking for her, but here she is. Because Gamora fucks off.
Yeah, well, I mean, we don't know what happens. Here's the thing. We don't know what happens to Gamora after this. There's that big question of like, Black Widow dies and doesn't come back. And they can't find any way of bringing her back, even by snapping their fingers. And Gamora, I assume, is in the same boat.
But didn't she time travel back? Where'd she go?
Who?
Gamora.
Oh, Gamora.
She doesn't get dusted. They don't show her get dusted.
I've been talking to a friend over this for a little while, and the best solution I can think of is she went the same place where the stones and the and Mjolnir went back.
Yeah,
like they probably she probably had to go back to her own timeline because you don't want to screw up the entire you don't want to screw up this other universe. Because if she were to stick around with the modern Guardians of the Galaxy, one, you can't just put her into the Guardians of the Galaxy again. Like, hey, alternate universe Gamora, want to join the Guardians? Because to her, it's alternate universe Nebula, and then a bunch of people she's never met, and has none of the experience with them.
But there was the whole thing with Quill as well.
Yeah, she just kind of looks at Quill and goes, really, this guy? And she's like, it was him or a talking tree. Like, to me, it's not the same Gamora. It's not the same character.
Yeah, but...
like, why recruit other Gamora when you can have anyone else? And also, it would be really fucking sad. Like, it's one thing for Quill to lose Gamora. It would be another for him to have Gamora come back, and she doesn't give a shit about him.
Yeah, but I think that would make an interesting plot of it an would, overall
yeah,
film.
Yeah, it would make an interesting dynamic.
Like, we're talking about something that'll get its own entire film dedicated to it, not just, like, a small segment.
But then also, you gotta remember that then there's a universe where Gamora's gone.
Yeah.
Whereas it would be better off for her to go back to her universe and then for Guardians of the Galaxy to happen. Like, better to have loved and lost than never loved in the first place,
yeah,
I
I'm
suppose.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's... But we don't know what's happened. This
we
is
don't.
All speculation.
But all we know is that's my theory is that she's back in her own universe.
Yeah, the only thing is that you because I assume when Stark snapped, which was the core snap, and everyone dusts. I assume that's him just sending everyone back.
Pretty much.
I'd argue that they're not dusting in the same way that the snap did.
I theorize that maybe he does at least Thanos' army. I have a feeling he does kind of disintegrate them for the purely for the sake of it. I think that might be the point of the snap, like the second one, is to basically do what Thanos did to him, but entirely and just to Thanos' army.
Yeah, but like when Thanos goes dusty, I'm like, I think this is so that way he goes back. Because like Stark himself was like, you've got to put everything, like knew that you've got to put everything back.
Fair.
He acknowledged the fact that like if you don't put everything back, it fucks up the timeline. And you don't get to this point without... You know, it's about keeping what you've gained, but also bringing back what you've lost.
Yep.
And the only way to do that is to put Thanos back.
Fair.
And so I kind of agree that it could be that, you know, Gamora has been put back.
Yeah. I assume they're putting everything that belongs back where it belongs.
I think that might
be the point. Like, just to avoid screwing up all the universes as much as possible, putting everything back into its own timeline and universe.
Yeah, but we're not James Gunn. We don't know what's happening in Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not even sure James Gunn knows what's happening in Guardians
of the
Galaxy. No,
he does. He wrote
yet.
The script.
Oh, he already has the script?
Yeah, the script was already written before he got fired and then rehired.
Okay, because all I know is it's not happening until like 2022.
Yeah, because of that.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Just checking. Okay, so we'll come to that at the
is
end.
Is this the most derailed podcast ever?
Oh, always. That's every episode for us, but this one more so than any. Tony Stark. So I was going into this thinking that if I had to take a guess, I would have assumed that Tony Stark was going to die in this movie. Yeah. It was just...
They were basically like, Tony Stark is dead.
Yeah.
Like, they're not coming back.
My expectations for this movie were that we weren't going to have Tony Stark or Captain America by the end of it.
Yeah.
Like, those two would retire or die, one or the other.
Yeah.
And I was assuming that only one of them would be, and it would be Tony Stark more likely.
Yeah.
Thor, I was on the fence about. I was really hoping he would.
Yeah, I'm not sure what Chris Hemsworth's contract is and whether or not he might have another film.
I don't know, but I think he might be signing himself up for more anyway.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem to me like he's done with Thor, unlike Robert Downey Jr.
I feel like he's like still having a good time with it.
Exactly. It seems like, especially after Ragnarok, I feel like he's enjoying it more.
Yeah, like on all the press junkets and stuff, he looked like pretty keen to be there with all these people.
Yeah, he's just super hyped to be there, whereas like Chris Evans is sitting there like, I just want to get off this diet.
I want to be able to eat food.
I want a cheeseburger and I want it now.
I want to be able to leave this gym.
Yeah, exactly. Can I stop working out for 8 hours a day, please? I can't live like this. Life is pain.
Yeah, but man, he's got America's ass.
America's ass. No, that's the real question. When he passes the shield onto Falcon, does Falcon have America's ass?
Yes. It comes with the shield. Oh, America, the title
it comes
of
with the title
ass.
Of Captain America.
Yeah, that's
you
why
are
Bucky
America.
Couldn't get it. It didn't have America's ass.
He's got Russia's ass.
Yeah.
He can't have that communist shit in here.
Nah. Damn commies.
Damn Soviet asses.
No, where was I going with this? Yeah, I loved... I like what happened with Stark. Stark's...
Yep.
Like, because My issue with Iron Man 3 and the reason I don't like it, as I've probably mentioned on this podcast,
probably,
the man has PTSD.
Yeah.
The man put a nuke into space.
Yeah.
And saw what was out there.
Yeah, he saw it.
And no one understood. And he kept telling people, and everyone's like, nah, man.
As if.
It's what led to Iron Man 3. It's what led to Ultron.
Yep.
The entire time. And then, like, in Infinity War, it's like, ha, I told you guys.
I called it, motherfuckers. I seen this shit.
Yeah.
The one cursed with knowledge.
Yeah, and it's like no one's understood, like, when he's been talking about Ultron, and everyone's like, nah, man, you're whack.
Why would we have to create a planetary defense system? And even when Captain America comes back to say, like, hey, Tony, we kind of need you, he's like, motherfucker, I called this.
Yeah.
I said why we needed Ultron in the first place, and y'all motherfuckers said no.
Yeah, and he's like, I told you guys, a suit of armor in every corner.
Yeah. He's just like, we needed this shit. And y'all said no. So that's on you too.
But yeah, and then it's like, and then, like, you talk about him not resting. Like, he doesn't rest.
He doesn't give up.
Yeah, because he knows that it's out there. He knows, like, he's worried. And that's why when he's like, there's a chance to fix it and, like, do everything. Because I think he also blamed himself that he couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
Because, like, he was there on Titan or whatever that planet is.
Moon. Yeah, it was Titan.
Yeah, and that's he was funny. Like, I could have helped stop this.
Yeah.
One fucking Star-Lord.
But that was important. The one.
Yeah. And then, like, we tried. We lost. And then, like, but the fact is that, like, there's a potentially a chance. I've got to find out if there is.
Yeah.
And then he finds out. He's like, well, I know what I'm doing now.
Yeah. And of all the people to get, like, to get this, and of all the people to, like, undo it and end.
Yeah.
You know, end Thanos and get the Infinity Stones and snap one last time, it had to be Stark.
Yeah. In comparison, I felt that Cap's ending was a bit...
You didn't like it?
I wasn't that big of a fan.
I thought it was the best ending for Captain America.
It was the best ending, but I felt like it felt a bit shoehorned in as, like, this is why Cap's not coming back.
Yeah, fair. Like, I get that. But I
like, he gets that one last dance with Peggy, and it's really sweet, and I love it. He goes back to Peggy.
It was the perfect ending for him. Sure, it's a bit... Narratively, I think it was... Like, sure... Within the bounds of the time travel rules they created, it's not perfect, but narratively, I loved it. Like, I know it broke some of the rules, but I was okay with it because of what we got in the end, where he has that, like, final chance to... Because Captain America, for the longest time, has been talking about how he doesn't belong. He, like, this isn't his...
Yeah, he doesn't like it. Like, the whole point of the, like, start of Winter Soldier was he doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, this isn't his... This isn't his world. He doesn't belong here. This isn't for him. He missed out on his entire life. So the point is, he just goes back and lives it again.
Yeah.
And that's the best thing. Honestly, I think that's the best ending for him. He just goes back. He just stops being Captain America and does something for himself.
Yeah, I just thought that the way that it happened was a bit... Eh.
I didn't mind.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that it was bad. Yeah. I was just saying that it was... I just wanted to see, like, it happen...
Okay.
Like, I just felt like it was just... Because it happens at the very end of the film.
Yeah.
And it's just like... I liked the whole him handing off the shield, and I liked that whole thing.
Yep.
But I was just like, okay, we get it. You're not coming back. And I'm like, I know... Yeah, I just...
I thought it was good. I liked it.
I liked the premise, but I didn't like the execution.
Okay. You didn't like old Steve Rogers sitting on the bench being like, oh,
how long has he been on that bench?
I've been sitting through the whole funeral. He didn't see me because I'm old.
Also, there's this one guy at Stark's funeral that I just don't recognize.
The kid? That was the kid from Iron Man 3.
No, it wasn't like a kid. It was like a...
Well, that's because it's been like
five years
since that movie came out and he's grown. But yeah, that was...
Oh, okay, yeah, because it was just a dude standing like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah, that was the same actor even. As the one from Iron Man 3. So,
I've only seen Iron Man 3 once.
It's been a long time. I had to have someone refresh my mind on that one as well, where I was like, oh, fuck, it is.
Because, like, you got Hawkeye and his family, you got the Banner, you got Peter Parker and... Aunt May knows that he's Spider-Man, yeah?
She walked in on him wearing the suit one at the end of a Homecoming, so I assume so.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I saw Homecoming.
Yeah.
I also don't know if I've seen the end of Homecoming.
Really?
Yeah, I think I got most of the way through it and then just started doing something else.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't see it in the cinema or anything. Yeah. I just saw it, like, on TV or something.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Especially considering now Peter's, like, there with all the superheroes.
Yeah.
You gotta assume that
in all fairness... It's Tony's... Even yeah. if she didn't, it's Tony Stark's funeral.
Yeah.
And Tony Stark, met Aunt May and Peter Parker in person and clearly had an interest in him.
Yeah, because he was, like, an intern.
Yeah. So clearly, he wanted to Aunt May, even without knowing that he's Spider-Man, Tony Stark showed up at their house.
Yeah.
Went, oh, I think your boy's really brilliant. I want to offer him a scholarship and also give him, like, this, that, and the other, and I'm offering him a place in the intern, like, as a Stark intern.
Yeah.
So I think it would make sense.
Yeah. Actually, can I just talk about how, like, the first thing when Stark gets back is, one of the first things he says to Pepper is, I lost the kid.
Yeah.
What happened to Peter hit him hard.
Yeah.
Like, he even has that picture of Peter and him, and, like, he's not very happy, and, like, Peter's, like, so ecstatic to be there.
Yeah, he's just happy to be there, and he's like, oh, fuck, that was basically his first chance at having a kid.
Yeah.
Like, that was basically his, like, he was a father figure to Peter.
Yeah, I like the idea of Parker and Lang being together and being like, oh, I'm super excited about all these superheroes.
Oh, man, guys, look at this. Superheroes everywhere. It's crazy.
Yeah. Especially the first, it reminds me of Civil War when you just take to the studio and it's like, oh my god, you're Captain America.
Yeah. That was one of my favorite things about Peter Parker in Civil War was just the one, he swipes Captain America's shield and he's like, oh my god, I'm so happy to be here, guys. Even though he's fighting them. And then when he grabs Winter Soldier's metal arm, he's like, dude, you have a metal arm? That's so cool.
Yeah, and especially at the end when he's like, did anyone see that really old film, Empire Strikes Back, and he's tying up Giant Man?
Yeah. Good. Everyone's just like, dude, where'd you find this kid? He's so young.
But you know, Tony Stark's funeral was really sweet. I like how you had like even like Hill and Fury rock up.
Yep.
Fury being in the very back like he always is.
Naturally. They also had that throwback to Iron Man 1, which was the original arc reactor.
Yeah.
And the little proof that Tony Stark has a heart.
That got me, man.
That was good.
Also, quick question.
Yep.
Phil Coulson's still alive, isn't he?
Yes, but no. Well, yes and no. Yes, in the TV show, but the TV show is not strictly canon to the movies.
Oh, okay.
The movies, the way it's defined is the movies override everything.
Yeah.
If it's canon, the movies canon in the movies. Whereas the TV shows are only like semi-canon.
Yeah,
where if they do happen in the movie, it's canon. Whereas otherwise, it is seen as not being relevant.
Okay.
So Phil Coulson has never actually appeared in any of the movies since Avengers, so he is dead for the purposes of the Avengers. The only other reference to him potentially is that Fury is the Winter Soldier helicarrier.
Yeah,
where Fury mentions he had help from an old friend.
Yeah,
but that could be just fucking Derek from accounting who had something to do with the helicarrier, like stored on a hard drive somewhere, and just said, "Here you go, Fury." So,
what do you mean help from an old friend?
There's a specific line in there where Fury mentions something about an old friend, and it's potentially Coulson.
What's this in relation to?
I don't remember exactly the context.
Cool, because I remember there's like the reference to Stark being jammed into the blades, and he's like, yeah, Stark got an up close look at this.
Yeah, for the upgrades. Made some
changes designs. Mm. Yeah, you've got all that, and I found that really sweet.
Yeah.
And I did like the whole giving of the shield thing and like Cap going back with Mjolnir and be like, I'm going to put this back too, I suppose.
Something I didn't think I would cry over was the mention of cheeseburgers. That got me.
Yeah.
Just happy, like talking to, I think, Morgan Stark and just saying, yeah, your dad liked cheeseburgers too.
Oh.
I was like, oh, that's from the first movie.
Yeah. And then you've got like the holographic Stark as well. With his will, and it's like,
so
no.
There's actually room for Tony Stark to reappear.
Oh, is there?
A little bit. Only because, once again, it's a comic movie. If they wanted Tony Stark to be back in, like, for real, they could just put it, like, they could just figure out an excuse.
Yeah.
But there is something. Tony Stark has, in a previous comic, made himself into an AI as a backup.
Yeah.
So that's kind of something they may potentially allude to with his will being a hologram.
Yeah.
Where it's like, hey, we digitized Tony Stark's conscious. Here he is as next Jarvis. That's something you could kind of do.
Yeah. Do you think we'll ever see like the one of the Iron Man suits, whether or not it'd be Rescue or...
Yes. I think down the line, if they're still doing these, which, come on, they print money. As long as they continue to do so, they'll continue to make Marvel movies. I think they want to leave that open.
Yeah, because I know they just literally just gave just popped rescue.
Yeah,
but
Potts finally put on a suit. Although she might have been Iron Man 3 for a short. She did wear one of the Iron Man suits for a short.
I think Tony Stark put one on her.
Yeah,
more than like her being in control of it. Yeah, because I was just thinking about, like, I know that Rescue was just added, and whether or not it's a time skip thing and Morgan's wearing Rescue. Or
even just Ironheart.
Yeah.
That's another possibility, which I think would be fun.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you've got the potential for a time skip and whatever to put in all these characters.
You can add Ironheart in probably even now. Like,
yeah.
Like, she was building the suit during Endgame, and now she has the suit.
Mm.
But yeah, the only reason I'm like hesitant to say that Rescue is going to be in it is because Gwyneth Paltrow is not in a lot of these.
Yeah, she's very short.
Yeah, she sort of vanishes for she's in and out because like Gwyneth Paltrow is a big name celebrity.
Yeah, and she's not really contracted in to be a lead.
Yeah, it's always with Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah, yeah,
it's never Gwyneth Paltrow.
I don't think it will be Gwyneth Paltrow as the next Iron Man figure.
Yeah,
I think it'll either be Morgan Stark.
Yeah.
Or it'll be the kid from Iron Man 3 doing it.
Yeah.
If they do it. So there is a potential there. So who else did they pass on? So we've got Hawkeye, we've got Captain America, and Tony Stark. Those are pretty much the main ones that retire. Whereas Thor kind of passes... He almost passes the mantle of Thor off.
No, he doesn't pass the mantle of Thor. He's still Thor.
He's still
Thor, but he passes off as the ruler of Asgard.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. He imparts like, okay, I'm not being Thor anymore. I'm off to go do my own thing with the Guardians of the Galaxy.
I felt like it was more of a, I don't want to be king. I'm not good at this. Like, with everything that's happened, it's shown that I'm really not good at this.
Hmm.
You're ruling now. Have fun, Valkyrie. But if you need me, I'll come. Like, if you need to protect it. Because he still gets his power from the Asgardians.
Yeah. That's true.
That's where Thor's powers come from.
I want to talk about the Thor really quickly. In Infinity War, Drax says he doesn't have, he's not a dude. You're a dude. He is like a god, like an angel pirate or something like that. And in this movie, when Thor's fat, Tony Stark passes him and calls him the dude.
Yeah.
Or calls him Lebowski.
Yeah.
Who is the dude. So I thought that was a really subtle but really good line.
Yeah.
That was fucking brilliant.
It's like, hey, Lebowski.
On your left, Lebowski.
Yeah, because you got like Thor, who's like drunk off his face
and fat, and wearing like the robe too.
Robe and like a. Oh, I'm gonna cosplay
just
that.
Yeah, I know, right?
I am definitely gonna cosplay this.
I want to see it.
I'll grow out my beard.
Yep.
But yeah, no, it's definitely. It was like, oh.
I want. We're probably coming to the end of the episode, but I want a little moment just to talk about one. I don't know if in our lifetimes we'll ever see something of this scope again.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll ever see a cinema piece as big as Endgame, where this is such an achievement.
Yeah.
And such a finale. Like, this movie is just wrap-ups. There's no tease to what's next.
No.
Like, sure enough, they go, hey, passing on the shield, passing on the mantle of these heroes.
Yeah.
Thor's
going with the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, but they never just go, hey, here's the next arc, here's the next villain, whatever. It's just, those are all endings.
Yeah.
There's no setup for anything else. Even like, I was sitting through for the end of the credits, and there is no post-credit scene, which is perfect.
Yeah, there wasn't one in Infinity War either.
No, there wasn't. There was just Thanos will return.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Which was different because it was always the Avengers will return.
Yeah, which is such a great way to do that, where it's just, Thanos. Like, they portrayed Thanos as the hero.
Yeah,
I
sat through, I'm like, I felt like, what?
That was kind of worth it. I like that.
Yeah, I liked the credit where they had all the signatures.
Yeah, that was really good. Where just the main Avengers got their chance, like, just got their huge credits. I was sitting there like,
yeah.
Huh, they haven't put in Tony Stark's credit yet, or like all this kind of, and then they just went, oh, here's their big fucking screen,
and it's got like the
it had their personal a personal touch to it, where it wasn't just a name on the board. It was like, here you go, this is like, it was just that little bit extra where I was like, okay, cool, that's this person gone and that's cool.
I wonder what they're gonna do now though, because like there's Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Well, I want to talk about what's now. The only movie that I think has anything for it, like is announced, has a release date, is Spider-Man Far From Home.
Yeah.
There is nothing else on the list. Like, they've always talked about, like, for the past couple of years, They've talked about, oh yeah, Black Panther 2, but they've never concrete had anything. Like, they talked about the idea of Black Panther 2. They've talked about a Black Widow movie.
Yeah.
They've talked about this, that, and the other, but they've never locked, but they haven't locked it in. It's not like when Avengers Age of Ultron came out and they were like, here's our roadmap. We've got 12 movies lined up in the future. And you're sitting there like, cool. Yeah, there's release dates for all of them.
I thought I saw I remember vaguely there being something on the roadmap afterwards, but it might just be Guardians 3. Like,
What I remember, there was just Spider-Man Far From Home. Like, the two things they had actually announced were Spider-Man Far From Home and Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Yeah.
And Guardians of the Galaxy 3 isn't for the next few years.
Yeah.
Far From Home's within the near future.
Yeah, it's
nothing
like
else.
Like 2 months.
And it's
July or something.
And it's kind of shocking for me to just be sitting here, and for the first time in years, there's no Marvel movies.
Yeah.
It's really, really weird.
I think they're going to make more. I mean, like...
Oh, they're
going to
make more.
I feel like I wouldn't have given Captain Marvel an entire movie if I wasn't going to give her back.
Oh, yeah. They're all going to be reappearing within the next few years. Now we've got things like the Fox buyout.
Yeah.
So now Marvel owns the X-Men. And Marvel owns, I think, Fantastic Four, which, holy shit, can I get some Fantastic Four, please?
Give me some good Fantastic Four.
I want a Fantastic Four.
Can Chris Evans come back to play the Human Torch?
Like, I'm sitting here, like, waiting for a chance, like, for them to throw back, like, the Baxter Building in, and I was kind of expecting it with Spider-Man Homecoming and Avengers Infinity War, where they bought, where someone, some mysterious buyer bought Stark Tower or Avengers Tower. So I'm thinking Baxter Building. Is my guess. That would be cool.
It would be. I'm not sure, though. I hope that they do, because I think they're going for a more cosmic slant now.
Yeah.
They're going for a more cosmic slash mystic slant.
I want a Scarlet Witch, Doctor Strange team-up movie so fucking bad. I want it.
Scarlet Witch is getting her own TV show, though.
Is she getting a TV show?
Yeah, Scarlet Witch and Vision.
What?
Yeah, so Disney's releasing a new streaming service that they're pumping billions into.
Yeah.
Like... And I don't mean this as like lightly. They're pumping billions.
Oh
like
no, I know that's where much. That's where they've got the Mandalorian.
Mandalorian and all the Star Wars show. But they're also making like Hawkeye TV show, Scarlet Witch and Vision, that apparent Loki show. They're making a fair few TV shows.
I don't know if I want TV shows though.
But I want these TV shows.
But,
why?
But they make
no because these won't be like the Defenders or These will be canon.
Okay.
I would argue that these aren't the
It's not like Daredevil or Jessica Jones, but I kind of like that format for the TV shows of just having like lower tier.
Yeah.
Like the spectacle and the characters you give a shit about, that's for the movies.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I think I don't know where they're going though, but they could do.
Also, it seems strange that they'd put Vision into having these. I don't know. It seems weird that they've got.
Yeah.
Especially when they were talking about Black Widow getting her own movie.
Yeah.
There was nothing ever concrete about that.
No.
And I wonder if that was just to throw people off.
Yeah.
Or if it's actually happening. Like, it's, if it's
TV
actually in discussion.
Disney Plus. Yeah, because Disney Plus has got a few TV shows. It's not out in Australia until, like, 2020.
Yeah. Which is fine. One less streaming service for me to pay for.
Yeah. The Disney Plus shows are going to be... They're being made by Marvel Studios.
Yep.
Oh, okay. The Disney Plus shows are going to interact with the Marvel movies for real.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
And that comes
so
from Kevin Feige.
Kevin Feige.
Feige. Yeah, I feel like if it's overseen by Kevin Feige, like he's done a really good job at like.
I'm not debating that, but it's just to me that's going to be so much. I can see in the future I'm going to have to be sitting here watching so many fucking Marvel TV shows now.
Yeah, Loki is potentially just Loki kicking about wherever he's gone.
Yep.
There's Falcon and Winter Soldier TV show.
Falcon and Winter Soldier? Okay. Yeah. Or the Captain America Bucky show, I suppose.
Yeah, the Cap Bucky show.
Yeah.
I think would be good. I think that'd be good as like a team-up thing.
Yeah.
Especially with Falcon being the new Cap.
Yep.
And I think that would be a good way to see his transition into like whether or not he takes up the shield like straight away.
How he works into becoming actually that would be a cool thing to see becoming the new Captain America.
Yeah, because whether or not he gives up like his whole thing is that he likes to fly as well.
Yeah, he's got the wings.
Yeah, it's like I never told you I was a pilot.
Do you think he's gonna try and integrate the wingsuit into Captain America?
I hope so.
That'd be pretty cool to see if they can make that work.
Yeah. WandaVision happened. But only Wanda's alive, and so no one's.
Yeah, I'm curious on how they'll make Vision work, considering that there is no Vision. Which is a shame, because Vision, I think, always had like the more colorful costume of the Avengers.
Okay, so the only other official announced Marvel show is What If, an animated anthology series that will explore alternate takes on the MCU. Like, what if Peggy Carter became Captain America? What if Scrawny Steve joined World War II in a suit built by Howard Stark?
You know what? That, I feel like, is the best suited for a TV show.
There's
what-if scenarios or alternate universe timeline stuff.
Yeah. Also, there's the unconfirmed Hawkeye series.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so Falcon and Winter Soldier and What If are expected to debut first within the service's new year.
Cool.
And nothing's, like, super confirmed with the release
nothing's
date.
Nothing's hardcore
but
locked
I think
in, but there's stuff
the fact that
in
Disney,
the work.
Disney Plus has, like, this is what's going on.
Yeah. Well, if they've got that down, then that's fine. That's at least
statements. I think Disney Plus will be an interesting. Will be. Oh, they're making a Monsters Inc. series too.
Huh.
A High School Musical series and movie starring Anna Kendrick and Willem Dafoe.
I'm interested in asking you, Alex. As far as the movies are concerned, what do you think is next?
Like between the end of Civil War and this, they did set up New Avengers.
Yep.
And I feel like they might take that path because you've still got all these characters. My dad's weird complaint about Infinity War is that you don't know anything about Scarlet Witch.
Okay.
I don't understand what his thing was. You've seen her arc.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, but I don't know anything about her. It's like, what do you mean? Did you not watch
Age
of Ultron?
She's been in five movies.
Did you not watch Age of Ultron or Civil War? And I think he might not have.
He might
have missed Civil War and Age of Ultron.
Yeah, those are kind of important.
Or like he might have forgotten. I mean, like, because like at the end of like Age of Ultron is like where she's debuts.
Yeah.
Then you've got her in Civil War where she's like, this is me. Hello. I am functioning member of team. Beam, beam, beam.
Yeah, and she's worked. Yeah.
I like to bang robot, please.
Ayo. He's only mostly robot. I think it'll be about 5 years before we get a big team-up movie.
Yeah, I'd say 5 years is like...
I put that kind of in the lower scale. I think we're going to get a lot more individual... Maybe like small team-ups, like how we got Thor and Hulk with Ragnarok.
Yeah, I think they're going to start... I feel like at this point you can't disconnect everything.
No.
Because everything is like conglomerated.
Well, it's all kind of tied in, but I think they kind of should, for a little while, split off and just go their separate ways.
No, I don't think they should. What I'm saying is that I don't think they should, like, completely separate. Like, the issue is that now you've got all these characters that exist in the same world.
Yep.
And they definitely do now. And they know each other.
Yeah.
Like, Stephen Strange has kind of met the Guardians of the Galaxy, effectively.
Yeah. Oh, he has.
Like, so if anything, say on Earth, say if there's something slightly mystical...
Mm.
Why the fuck don't you call Doctor Strange?
Yeah.
Or at least Wong, you know?
At least put in a phone call, see if Wong can deal with it.
Like, fuck. Like, try to hit him up. And then, like, Wong appears being like, nah, man, Doctor Strange is in another fucking dimension fighting.
They send an intern sorcerer.
It's my first day.
Hey, guys, I got my sling ring. I'm ready to go.
Darcy from Thor rocks up.
Hey guys, I'm here to solve the problem. I hear you got a possessed toilet. I'm here to help.
Yeah, no, but like if there's something slightly mystical, you should get like one of those, you know.
Yeah,
someone appropriate.
Which they can go on and deal with that. I mean, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I just think there should be more stuff.
What do you think? I don't think we'll get a huge, big, overarching villain for a long time.
No,
who do you think the next one would be?
Maybe Galactus.
I would love, now that they've got the rights to it, I would love Galactus.
Yeah, I think they sort of set up, I feel like Galactus is kind of like this space for him now.
Yeah.
Because you've got Captain Marvel being in space a lot, the Guardians.
A proper cosmic threat would be
a proper cosmic threat.
Like Thanos is a universal threat in a way with the gauntlet.
Yeah.
But having an entity that's just
big
monster.
Yeah, you can't really defeat Galactus. You just make him go away.
Yeah, just kind of divert Galactus away. I'd like to see... it's also interesting to see how they approach Galactus in general.
Yeah.
Because we haven't seen Galactus appear on screen in like a big movie. Like the last time Galactus appeared was in Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer, or whatever it was. And he was a big cloud.
Yeah,
which is not that... Galactus is a giant planet-eating, humanoid monster, in a way.
He's got the big Hulk. Like, you did see, like, some of those... You did see some of them, like, the being similar to Galactus in the first... Yeah, the first Guardians of the Galaxy, where, like, you've got them... They're the ones that created the Infinity Stones and used them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're not the same as Galactus, but they're of a similar bent, like, cosmic beings. Yeah,
I'd like to see some more... I'd like to see them get to the cosmic scale of Marvel. Yeah. Let's see how weird they can get, you know?
Yeah, let's see how weird they can get. Exactly, all the weirdness.
We referenced the Living Tribunal in Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Where what's-his-face whipped out the staff of the Living Tribunal. How about you give me the Living Tribunal? Just a giant three-headed fucking thing that judges universal threats, whether they're lawful or not.
Yeah.
You know, why not? Let's get this shit in here.
I did love... Yeah, I did like the end. I did like all that stuff. I want them to go weird. I want them to go, like, huge.
Yeah.
They need to go weird and huge, I think, because Thanos, like, was, like, kind of huge. But you need, like, especially, like, with the power creep that's come into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like,
have someone that even Doctor Strange and Captain Marvel teamed up will, and Scarlet Witch will have trouble dealing with.
Yeah, and, like, chuck Thor in, because if it's, like, Galactus, maybe Thor's back.
Yeah. Have the Guardians try and deal with that situation somehow.
Yeah, like you've got... Because like...
Fuck it, Silver Surfer, Adam Warlock, we fucking teased that in Guardians
2. Yeah, they teased it. I was
half expecting him to show up in Infinity War.
Yeah, here's my gauntlet.
Yeah, like the three big characters in the Infinity Gauntlet arc are Silver Surfer, who they didn't have.
Yeah.
Adam Warlock, who they'd only just said in name, and Doctor Strange, who fucking died in that movie. So I was sitting there like, how the fuck are they going to do this?
Yeah.
So, it'll be fun to see those characters come in for real.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all we've got time for.
We genuinely don't have time for more.
Yeah, you're listening to Mike's Camera Action, the only podcast that loves you 3,000.
Oh, that's a beautiful ending. Love you 3,000, kiddo.
Now I'm sad.